Praise the Lord. It is so good to see all of you this morning. I'm so thankful that you're here. Good number here. And if you're visiting, please just make yourself at home. I'd like to say, I think you're in the right place. That's what I'd say anyway. But I'm glad that you're here and always trusting that the Lord would supply what we need. And I kind of feel that way about this message this morning. I've said it before. Sometimes I feel like a study, maybe two or three messages or study a few things out and really trying to seek what the Lord would have for us on any given day, any given Sunday or what have you like that. But this one kind of came pretty quick, and this is just as much for me as it is for anybody else. So I'm preaching to me this morning, along with anybody that's willing to listen and take the advice. But if you will, let's turn to Acts chapter number 19. Acts chapter number 19. This is kind of one of those situations where the thought landed in my heart, and then the Lord provided the scripture. And maybe there's a few different things or a few different places in the Bible you could go for the, go to get this, but this is the one that jumped out at me, and it really spoke to my heart for, I guess, maybe the time of life that I'm going through. So, amen. Anybody started doing their spring cleaning yet? Yeah, you heard me right, spring cleaning. But, you know, you don't need to wait till spring. Now's the time to go ahead and start getting that stuff out of there, man. I tell you. You know, it's kind of interesting. We have a two-story house, and we spend predominantly, I'd say, 95% of our time downstairs. And I forget sometimes about going upstairs and what have you. So this last week and having some time at home and needing to clean some things out, I went ahead and went into my office and started doing some, I guess you call it fall cleaning now. And it's amazing what you can acquire, what you can put back and forget all about. I mean, it really is. But that my office upstairs is a place I like to go. It's a good place to study and to pray. And again, been spending a lot of my time downstairs and doing that. And if I need a book from my bookshelf, I'd go grab it and what have you, bring it down and read it. But being able, hopefully, to have a little bit more time at home, I wanted to be able to clean this space out. And so I told Brandy last week, I said, I'm going to get up there, and if it's something we're not using, if it's something we don't need, it's going to go. It's going to leave. And she kind of laughed after I was explaining to her how my day was going. She said, you're like that kid in that meme where he's up there cleaning his room and he's wearing like the mask and he's got the Batman cape on and he's playing with all of his toys or whatever he found up there and not really getting a whole lot done. And my goodness, it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming when you start seeing things sometimes. I was looking through things and had all kinds of paperwork from previous jobs I've done, what have you, like some insurance paperwork and for training and what have you, a lot of law enforcement stuff and just all kinds of things. And then what I got to realizing is there's a lot of stuff here you just don't throw it in the trash. You have to get rid of. You have to burn it. You have to burn it. And I don't know if you've ever really done that. Anybody spending a little time around a burn pile? Anybody? I like it. I'll be honest with you. I know it's a wind advisory. I know. I was watching. I was being careful. I know. But I remember growing up, sometimes we'd just burn brush and what have you. Didn't really think a whole lot about that. You just got to get rid of it. But if you start looking through things and getting rid of it permanently, you start thinking about it a little bit more sincerely, I think. It's one thing you think, well, I will put this back. If I ever need it, I'll know where it's at. Sometimes we pack away things that just need to get rid of. Just go ahead and get rid of it and not store it and keep it. Not talking about just physical things. I'm talking about things in life as well. I'm praying that the Lord will make this real to us this morning. I think it'll help us. I really do. We spend a lot of time around things or holding on to things that we need to let go. But it's not until really you start thinking about getting rid of something permanently how much that said thing might mean to you. If you stop cataloging things. So that's what I did. I had a couple of boxes of paperwork and things, just reams of paperwork. It's like, hey, this is classified, confidential stuff. You can't just throw this in trash somewhere. I need to burn it and get rid of it. It made me think about these verses here in the Bible when people started getting rid of some things. Acts 19, Acts 19, verse 19. And some of the interesting things, what they did here. And we'll get to this. There'll be a little foundation laid that needs to be laid for this, but I think it'll be a help to us once we get there, get to the meat and potatoes of the message. And it says, many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. And in verse 21, and after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. Let's pray. Father, I just pray and ask sincerely, Lord, for your help this morning. God, that you guide my thoughts and guide my mouth. Lord, I know what you've placed on my heart. And God, we just want that to be just shared today. God, I just pray that your will be done. I know you provide things for reasons, for me, Lord, for different ones, the congregation, Lord. And God, I just pray today that this land where it needs to land, and God, that you would just help us, God. We need help and we need guidance and we need to have a purpose in our life and, Lord, to be purposed in the Spirit. That God, after we learn things through life experiences and as we move forward, God, the importance of moving forward and not looking back. God, we can spend a lot of time on thinking about things and maybe regrets or maybe even good things, God. But Lord, I know that you have so much more good to come for the believer, for the child of God. I believe that with all my heart, Lord, not even just here on this earth, Lord, but I believe that in heaven to come, God. We have so much to look forward to, and I know the best is yet to come. But God, I pray for those that are here this morning. God, I pray that you help each one, specifically, God, how you would like to. I'm just so thankful everyone is here, God, and I just pray that you move in our hearts, move in our lives, God, and just give us that purpose and that direction. And Lord, I also pray for those who are lost today, who are here. God, just help them to see their need of salvation. Help them, God. Help them today. Help me, Lord, to be the mouthpiece that you'd have me to be, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So, interestingly enough, when I started thinking along these lines, it was because of the fire pit here. And I remembered in the Bible, wasn't there a place where they had like a book burning or had something like that where people were getting rid of things? And I remembered this, this scripture here, and came to it and started studying it. And the Lord just really just kind of drove it into my heart. The first part of this chapter, you got to remember the Acts of the Apostles, as it's been called, it's a lot of transitional work taking place. The gospel has been getting out. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was being preached and shared. And the new believers at this time were understanding a new way of life, no longer under the law. And the gospel is getting out. And the first part of this chapter here, they're talking about the baptism. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you've believed? And these folks here, they said, we don't even know what you're talking about. We don't understand what is this Holy Ghost. We don't even know that there is. And you remember, we've talked a lot on Wednesday nights about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter that comes. And Jesus said, it is needful that I must go away so I can send the Comforter. And what he was explaining and teaching is that there is now going to be an inner dwelling of this help, an inner dwelling of this comfort. Not just me walking with you, not you just walking by faith, but also now an inner dwelling. And that is something I think that people can misunderstand, misuse, or not use at all. And it hurts us and it holds us back. I tell you, if you're here this morning and you're saved, you have an internal being inside you, the Holy Spirit. And he is here to guide us. He's not just there to take up a space. He is there to guide us. You know, when I see the Word of God, I look at it like this. We see what Paul went through. We see what David went through. You can go through each of the people that is mentioned in the Bible, the situations they went through, and guess what? That was specific to them. You know, you and I are not here to recreate the Bible. I want you to get this. We see what Paul did in a situation, and when it had a good outcome, then we know that is the pattern that we should follow. But you know, Paul's life is not your life. My life is not your life, and your life is not my life. Now, we get to run this race together in cooperation and working together, but it's important that we know that the Bible is a living document that we can use to show us the pattern. But God is the one who describes and shows us the path. That's an amazing thing that I see. Joseph, let's use him for example. I promise you that he wouldn't have chosen the path to get where he went, but that's the path that God chose for him. And with me, and I think a lot of our young people, some are very determined, and maybe some have a lot of direction early on, but I have to be honest in saying I didn't have a lot of direction early on. And I'm not saying that at fault of anybody. I'm just saying I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up. Amen. I didn't know that. But I know now and see that God has a purpose in things. And I look back over my life and I see different careers, different things. And I ask myself, well, Lord, why did you let that happen? How many times do you think Joseph said the same thing? Lord, why did it have to be like this? Look at all the things Joseph learned along the way. Look at the typology that Joseph serves in the Old Testament of Jesus Christ. He was never reprimanded or anything, and he faced a lot of hardships at the hands of his brother, but guess who that's a type of? Jesus Christ himself. You see, that was the purpose for him to serve. You see, Paul here, as he's coming through, Apollos, as they're coming through, they're teaching. They're going into the synagogues and they're teaching and they're talking about this salvation in Jesus Christ. And people were so, at this time, the Jewish people, so wrapped up in just knowing God and not understanding who Jesus is. See, Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, you even see Apollos mentioned here, they are teaching who Jesus is. And they're asking, have you received the Holy Ghost? And we don't even know what you're talking about. We don't understand that. What's important, their response was, well, then what were you baptized? How were you baptized? We were baptized with John's baptism. You know, what we think about, when you think about that, I just pause here for just a second. We have some baptisms coming up very soon, and I'm ready and excited to get those together. And I think about the baptism of John. It was a baptism unto repentance. You know, that's not the baptism we as Baptists, that's not how we're baptized. Did you know that? You say, well, it's in the New Testament. It has to be. No, that was still under the law. Think about the dispensation. I know there's a lot of things going on here, but you see, these people this time didn't understand that. They said, well, we were baptized with the baptism of under repentance under John. And he said, that is not the baptism I'm talking about. He's talking about, all right, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? Well, how do you get that baptism? It's in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Some are shaking your head. Amen. When we baptize today, it's in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Just as the Bible has taught us in this New Testament church era that we're living in, the grace period that we're living in. And so he was explaining these things. And just follow me again. This is foundational to get where we need to go. And he was explaining to them, you need to have be baptized with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and that's in Jesus Christ. And so he did that with these people. Now, they weren't believers before that. I want you to know and understand that. It wasn't they were saved, you just need to be baptized. The baptism of John, if somebody says, I want to be baptized unto the baptism of repentance, you know how much good that does you today? None. We are baptized today after we have accepted Jesus Christ. After we've believed, I want you to know that that's the important part. Just being baptized to be baptized doesn't serve you any purpose by way of your salvation. And that's what he's explaining here. And he goes on to say, after he baptized them, he laid hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost came upon them and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And I'm not Pentecostal. I want you to know that. You already know that. They were able to teach and to preach the gospel in all tongues that they could hear it and understand it. This was in Asia. And you see what happened as they were going through. You'll see what took place right after this. They were going through in the synagogues and they were teaching to all these different languages. See, God is very fair in that he didn't give the gospel to some and keep it from others. We all get to have it. That's the whole purpose of being able to hear things in different languages. That's what they were talking about right here. The important part of being able to do that. And it goes on in verse number 10. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that they all which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. See, that's your why. That's why the Lord allowed these men to talk just like I'm talking. But if you speak Spanish, you would hear it in Spanish. Isn't that amazing? That's the power and the amazement of tongues, not what it's been made out to be today. And I say that unapologetically. It's just all in the Word of God, and I want us to see that. But now, interestingly, you get through this place here, but you had people trying to cast out demons. And you see that what you see in verses 11 as you start there, God had done many miracles and special works at the hands of Paul. God anointed Paul to do what he was doing. That was a different time and a different place and period where the apostles had the power, the authority to heal. But at the same time, as they're transitioning out of that, what the Lord wants us to see, the power is in Him. The power is in the Holy Spirit in our life. The reason I say we overlook that a lot is because I believe there's a lot of evidence in our life that we don't appropriately give Him the credit, the Holy Spirit, the credit that He deserves. We will read something about Paul and Paul talking about things he went through in his life, and you would say, maybe that has nothing to do with me and the job that I'm in, the work I'm doing, the decisions I have to make has nothing to do with that. I want you to see that there's a pattern. I want us to see and understand the pattern. You know, the Lord is writing your life out specific to you. He's not making you out to be another Paul. He's not making you out to be another anybody else. He has a purpose for you. I think Paul even learned this in the words that he said. You know, he was traveling through different countries. He was going through different continents to share the gospel to us, the Gentiles. You know, it didn't start here in the United States, by the way. It was over there. We are a product of missionaries, and I want us to see that this morning. That's why we're missionary Baptists. We believe in getting the word out, the gospel out. That's what we're supposed to do. That's the Great Commission. But you see, Paul here, as he's going through his life and what he's learning, you know, he learned things continually just like you and I do. I was talking to a friend yesterday, talking about church and just different things, and I said, you know, I said, just continually learning and growing. And he said, the key word is continual. You and I have so much to learn in life, and as we go from maybe one phase of life, one part of life into another, the Lord has things for you every step of the way. I don't want you to think wherever you're at, this is the most the Lord has to offer for you. I don't want you to think that. You know, I don't want you to think this is the best it's going to be. You could be in a hard season of your life. You think, man, if this is the best it's ever going to be as a Christian, I don't have a whole lot to look forward to. I want you to know you have everything to look forward to this morning. I want you to know that. You know, that Christian, as hard as it is, that Christian who might be on their deathbed, they have everything to look forward to. The best is yet to come. It's hard for us to see that sometimes because of our circumstances, but at the same time, it's important that we learn to let some things go. If we have our life filled up with things, our hearts filled up with things, our minds filled up with things, we're not going to be able to contain what God has for us. You say, preacher, I've heard that a million times. You're not telling me anything new. But yeah, how much of this are you going to retain once you walk out the church doors this morning? Think about it. Think about this. How many times have you been to church and maybe you get home or get somewhere and somebody say, what was the message about? You say, the Bible, it was good. What was it about? I don't remember. Because your mind was on something else. Your mind's turning and turning. I'm not being mean. I'm just saying our minds get so full of things. We got to get rid of those things. Our lives get so full of things. You know what we do? We think we might need this later on. I better hold on to that. That's a precursor to hoarding. If you've ever been in a place where a hoarder lives, it will blow your mind. Been in a few places before, and you couldn't hardly see the floor to walk through. And you're just like, how in the world could you live in this chaos? How would you know what is good to eat and what's out of date, what's good, what's bad, and what's new, what's old? Everything's just piled up. And you see, the thing about it is, inside our hearts and our minds, that's where a lot of people live today. That's why a lot of people are looking for relief from that. Like, how do I get out of this? How do I get out of this? So I need to talk to somebody. And that's good. That's fine. A lot of good, maybe counselors, what have you. You go to a doctor sometimes, they'll want to prescribe you with something. A lot of times the side effects are worse than the help. And you don't really ever get past what you need to get past. You see, here's the thing. Going back to my office, I was in there and looking at things, and I was like, this is a previous career. I left law enforcement in 25 and still had some things in there from law enforcement. I'm like, man, I don't need this stuff. I don't need this. I don't do that anymore. I don't need that. Not that it was bad or anything like that, but still just don't need that. I need to make room so I can have things cleared out so I don't feel so claustrophobic. Our lives can get like that. Then I got to looking at some of all the training materials. Sister Chelsea, you went through the insurance. There's a lot of books sitting there. There's a lot of, well, I got rid of some of mine, but it's all up here. But if I have any questions, I'm going to ask you, okay? There you go. Amen. You see, knowing where to go is a good thing too. You don't have to know everything yourself. But I started burning this stuff. I took this stuff out yesterday, put a little kerosene on it. You have to start it good or it's just not going to burn. It stifles up pretty quick. But have you ever tried to burn paper, reams of just paper upon paper upon paper? It don't just go up. It stifles. It stifles up. And what I learned when you have that kind of thing, what you have to do is you have to kind of churn it up a little bit. Churn it up a little bit. And I know we're under a wind advisory, but praise the Lord, that wind helped me a lot. I would churn it, the wind would blow it, and man, it just that much quicker. And all I could think, church, about this was how interesting, how typical it is if you're willing to burn these things up, if you're willing to bring these things to light, that the Holy Spirit can actually do something with it. You know, you think that wind would just blow a fire out, but you know, a still small wind, Brother Tim, I tell you, it'll make a fire go. It'll burn it up. Get rid of it. You think, preacher, I don't have anything in my life that I don't need to get rid of. I bet you do. I bet you do. You know, you look at this right here, what you had taking place here in this specific place is you had there certain vagabonds. That means wanderers. They were just kind of pile up and go here, pile up and go there and do things and try to pretend like they were doing things in the name of God. It looked right. It looked like they were doing something, but they weren't. They were imposters. They were going based off of the power that they had in of themselves or of this world. You know, there is power in this world. Evil spirits and powers, what have you, the power of Satan, the prince and power of the air, there absolutely is. For me to stand before you and say that's not a real thing would be a lie. The prince and power of the air is a very real thing. He's more powerful than you and I. But see, these people here, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord, Jesus saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. See, they saw what people in the church were doing and they wanted that power. You remember Simon the sorcerer? He was like that. He saw the true power of God on people's lives and he said, I want that same power. How much does it cost? I want to buy it. I'll buy it off of you. I want to be able to do that. That would help me in my business and what I'm doing. How can I buy that? Let me tell you, you can't pretend the Holy Spirit. You can't fake him. He's not to be impostured. And just because, I'll say this too, just because somebody says that the Holy Spirit is this and the Holy Spirit that, if that is not a testimony that's witnessed among all the people or more of the people, just one person, it may not be the Holy Spirit. It may be the inner working of somebody themselves. You got to watch that thing. I tell you, if you're saved and the Holy Spirit's moving, you don't know exactly where he's going to come in, but he'll move over here a little bit. He'll move over there a little bit. The next thing you know it was him that was moving. Not a self-manifestation of your own will trying to portray something else. I want you to know that. Holy Spirit is real. Absolutely. The prince of power of the air, satanic forces are real, but I want you to know the Holy Spirit is very real. And he's really rich to those who are willing to call upon his name. And I want you to know that. What they were doing here, I'll emphasize and go on with this a little bit here. What they were doing is they were doing an exorcism. This was something you see very commonly in the Bible. I know it's been glamorized maybe a lot in movies today. You see it and all that kind of stuff. You think, wow, wow, wow. But you know, these men actually had the power, the apostles, the authority. I say power, it was the authority given to them by God to cast these demons out. People who were overtaken by them, but you know, you also had imposters too. And that's who we're talking about here. These vagabonds were imposters. And they saw an evil spirit in this person. They went to cast them out. They want to do this in and of themselves, if you will, or the power of Satan, if you will. And you say, how they cast them out? It was phony. It was fake. These people didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit. They tried to counterfeit it. Verse 15, and the evil spirit answered and said unto them, now here it was, these Jews, again it says here, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. He's saying, use the name of Jesus. But look what the evil spirit said in verse 15. The evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? You see, there's things in life that you're going to have to understand and know that you have to give to the Lord, and you can't do it any other way. There might be temporal things that you can put a Band-Aid on. There might be some temporal relief. But I want you to know this morning, until you fully give things over to the Lord, you're not going to get the help that you need. And I want you to know this, until you fully give it to Him, He knows you're holding back. As I was burning things yesterday, I remember, there's a few things. I went, Brother Norman, I went like this, and I pulled it back out of the fire. I might need this. And I thought, if I start taking stuff back in the house now, I'm already defeating the purpose of doing this to begin with. Everything must go. That was the moral of the story for yesterday. It's still ongoing, by the way. Everything must go. And I got to thinking about that. You know, it is so easy sometimes. We have the intent that we're going to drop something and let it go and burn it up. But at the same time, we'll pull it back and we'll hold on to it. You start really seeing how dependent you are on some things if you really think about getting rid of it forever. Forever. You know, this absolutely goes with things. It goes with things that you see in life as far as like physical things. But I want you to know it goes with spiritual things as well. Things that you have in your heart and in your mind. Let's go a little bit further. And I want to touch on that a little bit more. But it's kind of ironic here in verse 16. I have to read this because this is what happens if you try to do something and outside the power of God. It's going to come back on you. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they filed out of the house, fled out of the house, naked and wounded. It was something else to see. Like, they came out. The evil spirit finally did come out of the man, but he jumped on him and run him out of the house. You see, that was a battle that they weren't ready to take on. You see, if you do this with the Holy Spirit and you're guided by Him, He's going to take care of the outcome. It's kind of comical. They did it all wrong. Evil spirits jumped out on them. But guess what? Paul was there to see it. The disciples, those around, were there around to see it. Verse 17, and this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord was magnified. You see, the phony was exposed. Said, listen, this ain't really going to help you. This is kind of a mockery. It's not going to help you, but the Lord got glory and honor out of it. They were able to see it. It was the fake. The fake was exposed. But look what happened in verse number 18. It's important that you grasp this verse here. It's kind of seemingly a small verse around what's going on, but look what happened. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Look what showed their deeds. Look what happened here. They came, they believed. Many that believed, they came and they confessed. If you want to have any power, any authority with the Holy Spirit, you have to be right with God. I want you to understand that. You can't walk the fence on that. This goes for every single one. When I said this was just as much for me as it was for you, I mean that. You get up, if I don't live it, I can't preach it. That's a phony. And the demons will jump out on me. I know that. But what he's saying here, they confessed. They came out. They saw the realness of it. And you know what they were willing to do? They were willing to confess their sin. They're willing to make things right. There was things in there, Brother Dale, that wasn't supposed to be in there. And they said, you know what? It's coming to light. I'm willing. I want that power. I want that presence on my life. I need that. I want that. I want that guidance. But how do I have that if I'm kind of carrying these things along with me? I want you to know, if you've got sin lingering around, you're not going to have power with the Holy Spirit. Do you know that? If I have sin in my life, I do not have power with the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? I'm just being honest with you this morning. If we want the power of God on our life, you have to get rid of some things. And you can't do this. And it can't be, well, I'm going to get rid of it for now, but I'm going to go back to it after I get forgiveness this time. It doesn't work that way. You know, God knows what we're going to do next. And you think about having the power, the presence. And what's the importance of having the power, the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life? You know, people can't be saved if the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit isn't here. You know how important that is to a church? It's vital. If we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, we really don't have what you would say is an actual church. That is so vital. If I have unconfessed sin in my life, I'm not where God wants me to be. Same thing applies to every single one of us. It's that important. These people saw true power and they confessed. They brought it to the Lord. Lord, I'm sorry. You see, when I was thinking about this also and looking at it and burning these things up, you know, when you burn those things up, it's gone. It's gone for good. You don't go back and get it. You know, there's not one thing, Brother Mike, in that pile I can go back and pull out and say, that's what this was. It's ashes. Brandy made me check on it, make sure the fire didn't jump out of the pit with all the wind blowing last night. It's gone. You can't recognize it. You know what's interesting about that, too? If you read on in the Bible, you think about our works, how things are set up. You think about when you go to see Jesus one day, every one of us will, lost or saved, white throne judgment, judgment seat of Christ, you're going to see him and you're going to get to meet him one day, one way or the other. But you know what's going to take place? All of your works are going to be placed in a burn pile. Every single thing you and I have done is going to be placed in a burn pile. And you know what comes out of that? Those things that we did for him. That's it. You know, when I was burning up stuff yesterday and I thought about that, Brother Raymond, I thought, my goodness, that kind of lightens the load. A lot of this stuff don't matter. A lot of these things don't matter. Now, I'm giving you that in a physical definition, but I want you to see the spiritual aspect of it. How many of us here today, how many of us have things in our life we're thinking about past experiences with people, and it's like, you know what? I really need to forgive them so I can move on, but I might need that one day. You know, that person hurt me. That person said something to me. And I know you're supposed to forgive people, but what does it hurt if I just kind of just leave that there in the corner of my heart, tucked away to the side, just in case I need it for a future argument or a future situation? What if I need that? You know, somebody else might need to know that. I might need to share that information with somebody else. You know, a lot of times, that's what gets us in more trouble than anything is our mouth saying things. Maybe even our actions, going places we shouldn't go, doing things we shouldn't do. And what I thought about more than anything is how many things in our life do we need to burn up and get rid of, saying, I'm not going back to that anymore. Drugs, alcohol, things that you watch on TV, things like that. You say, preacher, you going to talk? Yes, I am. It's those types of things that keeps us from having the presence of God in our life. And do you want it or not? Because it cannot coexist. If it cannot coexist in my life, I know it can't coexist in yours. See, when you come time to making decisions in your life and knowing which way to go, you can read the Word of God, but don't you want the presence of the Holy Spirit on your life guiding you and reaffirming your decisions? Don't you need that? I do. I think about things in the ministry with CFC, our church. I tell you, if I kind of go around wishy-washy one way or the other, it's hard to have confidence in a person like that. But if that person has confirmation from the Holy Ghost, from God Himself, this is what I want you to do, I think the Holy Spirit will make that known. I believe that with all my heart. See, that's what was happening here, even in Paul's life. You see, these other people saw what was going on and the benefit of it. Not only did they confess, but they showed their deeds. They backed it up with their actions. They did what they were supposed to do. Their walk changed. Their life changed. They were not just being around. They were actually fruitful in what they were doing. And you see the importance of it. Now, interestingly, in putting their deeds together, this is what they're willing to do. Look at verse number 19. And many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. Think by monetary value, I think somebody says around $8,000 today, maybe not a whole lot, but that's a lot to burn up if you think about it like that. I remember a time in my life when the Lord was dealing with me, and I tell you, you see, I know I'm saying a lot of stuff right here. You can see the devil in a lot of things. I remember a time in my life when you wanted to get listen to music, you bought a disc. You had a physical disc. Some of you probably remember an 8-track. I even remember that. We're going to talk to all generations, right? I remember that, okay? It had a disc. And I remember a time in my life I had this collection, and I tell you, a lot of it was absolute junk. Nothing that a child of God should be listening to. And you find that everywhere. That hasn't changed. That hasn't changed. So you take that, and I was like, the Lord started convicting me on that, and I was like, I've got to get rid of these. I got to get rid of these. I don't need this. I don't need this. I don't need this in my car. I don't need this in my house. I'm going to sell it. And you know, I didn't even have any peace with that. I didn't have peace with that. What do you mean sell it? So somebody else can take on your mess? Well, that's a good testimony, isn't it? Yeah. This guy had a case of conscience, and he sold this so other people could have it. That just don't work either, does it? It's not good either. So I remember having a burn pile myself, getting rid of things myself, and getting rid of stuff so that way you don't pass it along to somebody else. There's another, even a moral of that story. You think about the things in your life as a family, having kids. What are you passing along to your children? If something were to happen to you today and your children were the ones left behind to go in your house and pull out your stuff, what would they find? Think about that. Well, that's old-timey preaching there, ain't it? That's old stuff. Think about that. You say, I don't have a physical copy. It might be something worth deleting. But now think about this. What are you passing along to your kids, your children, their spouses, grandchildren? What are you passing along to them spiritually? What do we talk about around our kids? You know, we leave here. Sundays are probably a good time. You get together. You get around with family, and you know what you do? You start talking, right? Get together in fellowship and talk. That's what we do. Get together and talk through things and all that kind of stuff. If you're not careful, what you talk about is then cast on to your kids. Probably some of that stuff needs to be burned up before it's passed on to your kids. You see, just like that burn pile, you get rid of stuff because you don't want to pass it on. There's a lot of what we say in our actions as parents, as leaders, that we need to burn up, and we don't need to pass that on to somebody else, what we project onto somebody else. See, they were willing to get rid of these things. They wanted these things gone. You said, preacher, I don't listen. I want to say this. And I thought about this. I was like, this one, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't, but I'm going to. So, preacher, I don't listen to that old worldly stuff. I like contemporary music. Boy, that's a touchy subject today. Used to it, wasn't. I just want to say this. If the music overrides the message, it is not Christian music. If you can't hear what's being said for what's being played, it serves no purpose as Christian music. Think about that. You say, I don't listen to that bad stuff. I listen to this. It's that same thing. And you say, okay, that's fair enough. Now I want you to know this. If you can't understand the message and the message is perverted, if you can't hear what it said, it serves no purpose as Christian music. You know how many songs I've heard? I tell you, you can look through some of the hymnals and say, that's just not biblical. But you know what? We needed to make a word rhyme so it would fit. And so we put that in there. A lot of things you listen to, I'm not saying all that's wrong, but a lot of it is because there's no change in the person's life. It's a money racket. It's to hype people up. And I want you to know there's an absolute difference in a moving of the Holy Spirit and a moving of flesh and emotionalism. I want you to know that. I could get up here and I can make you laugh. I get up here and I can make you cry. That doesn't make it spiritual. It really doesn't. It's a work on the emotions. That's another one of the things that these people were seeing. That's what those vagabonds, that's what they were doing. It was fake. But you see, if you start doing things right, now this is talking about a church. You know what? This will work in your home. You're not married, this will work in your life. This will work down to an individual basis. They were willing, it didn't matter how much it cost. They knew it was something that wasn't worth sharing with anybody else, and it had to go. They're willing to get rid of it permanently. Not like I'm going to hold on to this a little bit later. They got rid of it, and look what happened. So mighty grew the word of God and prevailed. So that's an evidence. And you can't fake that. You say, I want it, but I'm not going to do all the steps to get there. You're not going to have it in your life. You will feel incomplete. I see people like this sometimes, and I've been there. And if I'm not careful, I can fall right back into it, fall into hobbies, fall into things to look for things to make me happy. Another hobby, another collection, if I just have this one more thing, you start chasing after these things and see you're back in that cycle again. God wants to break you out of that cycle. Say, preacher, you clean out your office so you have room for more things? No, just room for leaving it open. So that's what God wants in our life. He wants your open heart and your open mind so he can do things, not for you to put something back in there. He wants to be the one putting in. He wants you to have a fulfilled life, and if you are trying to fill it yourself, it will never be fulfilled the way he wants it to be fulfilled for you and me. It has to be him. I'm going to close with this. Now look what happened. See, Paul was just moving through. He was going about his missionary work. He wasn't finished here at Ephesus. He had other places to go. In Asia, he had other places to go. And after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. You see, he had places to go. But what I find most interesting about this here is how he purposed in the Spirit. He didn't say, I've got to make a plan. I've got to have a plan. I'm going to map this thing out. I'm going to have a plan. This is where I'm going next. This is what I'm going to do. He purposed in the Spirit. He saw firsthand the power of the Holy Spirit in other people's lives. And he said, I'm purposed in the Spirit. See, the powerful thing about that is if you get a hold of that and you're willing to read an account that God has in his word of somebody else, you don't just have to read it and say, I've got to try to mimic that. Like I've got to try to do it just like that. If you purpose in your heart to follow the Holy Spirit, he's going to lead you there. And the better thing about it, the neat thing about it, is if you clear all this stuff out, it's less stuff you have to get rid of along the way. He will fill it up. I want you to think about that this morning. Think about your life. Think about where you are. Think about decisions that you're trying to make. There might be things in your life inadvertently you're trying to force because you think it's the right thing to do. I've been there. You think about things logically. You think logically, this is my needs. These are my needs. I have to have these things. And so therefore, I'm going about my way of making these things happen. When God said, when are you going to let me do it for you? When are you going to purpose your life in the Spirit and let me guide you? I think a lot of times that might be the conviction that a saved person has in their life. They know something's off and they can't just quite figure it out because they've been so used to living the way they want to that they're not willing to let somebody else take control. But if you give your life over, truly give your life over, you purpose in the Spirit to lead you and guide you, you'll have a different life. You'll have a more fulfilled life. I promise you that. That's the account that's given here this morning. If you will stand with me, all head bowed, heads bowed, eyes closed, ask the ladies if they will to come to the instruments.